What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Contact implants promote osseointegration, preserve crestal bone, and simplify your implant procedures. With a single prosthetic connection, streamlined surgical kits, and seamless integration into digital workflows, the Contact Dental implant is quickly becoming the go-to choice for U.S. dental professionals. Your cases will be supported by a dedicated planning team who can provide surgical guides and answer any technical questions. Experience the difference firsthand. Biotech Dental will provide your first contact implant case completely free, including restorative components and surgical planning support. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable, discover why so many dentists are switching to the contact implant system. Visit biotechdentalusa.com to learn more.
On this week's episode of Bro Apostles, what do you do if you're a man who feels purposeless and has no meaning? Well, we know exactly what to do and what book to read, and we'll tell you about that. And is my date talking too much? We'll tell you why. And then how did we decide to have a second kid, me and Ethan separately, not together? All this and more on this week's episode of Bro Apostles.
Welcome to Bro Apostles, a comedy podcast for Catholics who take their faith seriously but not themselves, brought to you by thefreedomgroup.co. Coming at you live from the demolished ruins of the east wing of the White House. Help, I'm under the rubble.
You know what your house and the White House have in common? Lead
white,
paint.
White.
Lead.
We do call this, when we moved here from our other house, we called this the White House.
Peter the White would be House, like, yeah.
Because when we kind of had two houses for a minute, because we still had the rent, the lease through the end of the month. And so we were like kind of going back and forth and moving stuff. And we'd be like, we're going home. And Peter would be like, which house are we going to? Are we going to the White House? And it made it sound like we were
going to a White House.
Going, yeah, we were somebody, but I'm, yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm buried under the rubble. I need you to save me. Donald Trump has destroyed the East Wing of the White House and also shaken my faith in the institutions of democracy because he's building a room in which to ball, which I thought that liberal Americans would be all for because that is a primarily African American sport, to ball in the ballroom. Seems to be a great experience.
I heard that Obama built a basketball court, and I was going to do a whole bit about like a ballroom versus a ballroom, but
yeah.
He made a basketball court outside. So,
yeah.
That's not as cool.
It honestly should be like, if you become the president, you should get to do whatever the heck you want to the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
You should be able to put anything in there. I wish Obama would have built a true basketball court and adjoined it to the White House, because then it's like, at least you're doing something other than like bombing Libyans, you know,
or something
or whatever. I don't know what he was doing.
They shushed him. He was talking. He was talking when someone was trying to read a book. So he bombed those Libyans.
Like the Chilean miners, I have emerged from the ground. It's good to be back on the pod. Hey,
that's one of your top 10 jokes of all time. It's Ethan went away for like a month or two when he was a focus missionary, and he came back and he was like, hold on, I have this bit. And he did it like three or four times before he recorded. And it was like the Chilean miners rising from the ground, all time. Really? The real heads know what we're talking about.
If Elon Musk had been on the scene back when those Chilean miners got trapped, he would have gone and he would have screwed up so bad. And like six of them would have died.
But we would have forgiven him.
We would. Well,
if only he had bought Twitter sooner.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? I'm off the sauce. I'm out.
You're out of Twitter again.
I haven't been on X in 5 days.
It's like an annual tradition at this point.
And it's been some of the best time of my life.
Oh yeah, that's
I'm good. So calm. I'm so like unagitated by things of the world.
Ever since our conversation a couple of days ago, that was yesterday, I've been
rock your
calmer.
World?
I've You've been calmer.
Since, I calmed you down.
I was just like, I get really mad, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows I get really mad. Yeah. And, you know, you need to not, because then they win. Like, the people that you're mad at win, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you mad.
Yes.
And if you're mad, you win. If they're mad, you're mad, they win. And if you stay unmad, then you win. And so that's that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to not be mad online.
I think that's a really important thing, because you need to manage your emotions. Nobody wants to follow a guy who's mad all the time, except people who are children or mentally unwell.
That's true. That's true. It's important. I try. It's also sometimes I come off as mean, and I don't mean to. Sometimes I'm just.
I think you do try. You send me texts that's like, I'm gonna nuke this person from orbit, and then you and then you hit them with a precise missile strike on x.com, and it's like, that wasn't an accident.
I'm not trying to be mean. I guess I am. Maybe I should bring that to prayer.
I was praying. So the reason that I went off the apps is because I was at Mass. And I was like, the single thing that makes me the most unhappy is Twitter.com. Mm. So why on earth am I still using it? What am I
why
doing?
Why am I on it?
Yeah.
Why am I there?
Yeah.
The one thing that makes me very happy. Like I was talking to one of my good friends, Darwin to Jesus. And I was like, man, I miss Threads so much. Oh no, this is part of Jesus. What?
Like the app, like the Meta app, the Meta response.
No, writing Threads on X.
You meant like the app Threads. I was like, bro, what?
No, dude. I would never go to other blue sky. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
okay,
I miss,
you miss making Threads.
For a good 6 months on and off, I was every day I'd just write a thread and it'd be fun and people would share it. They'd be like, this is such a great, like, thank you so much for this. This helps me learn a bit about my faith. And it was so nice. And now threads are stupid and lame because they're all AI written. And so no one clicks on them because there's no friggin' point, because they're all generated by AI. The doctrine of Mary is not just important, it's essential.
It sounds like you're bitter. You just sound bitter.
I am bitter because it was fun. It was fun and now it's over.
You can still make threads.
I can, but they're not as fun.
What if I told you that your threads now are not as good as they were when it was fun? You're just making worse threads.
I don't write them anymore.
Exactly. The burger that I do not have is worse than the burger that I have. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's why I like Substack. That's what I was getting at. I missed Threads, so I've started writing things on Substack. If you'll notice, no, it is different. I know this for a fact. Things are different now. I know this for a fact because the culturist doesn't post threads anymore. Have you noticed that? He very rarely does.
I don't. You're not on. Well, even when I was on, I don't care about this stuff.
You don't care about this?
No, I want to get on. I want to hee hee. I want to ha ha. I want to see my friends, and I want to update on K-State sports and the injuries on the team, so that I know how excited or not excited to be for the game against Texas Tech on Saturday. And I want to get out of there.
That's funny. That's fair. You and I approach social media very differently.
Well, I used to be like you, but then I decided that I would rather be happy.
You oscillate. I like writing things. That's why I like Twitter. And now it's a little bit different.
Mm.
And that makes me sad.
I think the problem is you're a word cell trying to appeal to shape rotators. And that's the big issue here.
You have to explain those words. I don't.
I actually don't. I think it's self-evident with the description.
You need to explain them. I don't understand.
I was on the phone with Emma because we're talking about this. We like our banister needs to be replaced as some friggin' stupid thing because it's got paint in it that's toxic or whatever. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And she was talking to me on the phone. She's like, my dad was saying that you could get a 6-inch board and put it on the north side of the newel post and then put it over the top and cut the cap off and stick it on the, and then you could have another shim board that would go on this. And I was like, your dad is a shape rotator explaining things to a word cell. Like you need to write that down and give it to me because I do not understand what's going on. And she was like, what does that mean?
What do those words mean?
And I thought for sure you would know what it means. You're a word cell. You like to write and you like to read and you think in words.
Uh-huh.
But most people are shape rotators and they see images in their mind and they react to the picture. You don't have picture brain, you have word.
Is this the thing about can you picture a rotating apple in your brain?
Kinda, but I mean it more in terms of it's like a geek versus jock fundamentally.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you can you pluck the football out of the air for a touchdown, or are you going to complete the syllogism? You know,
sure.
You're a syllogism guy. You know,
that is why I pivoted this week to writing shorter things. That it's just like, do you remember that brief period where I was writing short articles for America Magazine? That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. I'm glad that's over though.
Yeah, it was a little hard to get through their editorial process. Also, I learned a lot of things about the institutional Catholic like journalism space that I'm happy that I know those things. Anyway, I liked those because they were short 600 word articles, like make one point, make it well, get in, get out. And so I'm gonna try and do that more, because I have a tendency to try and like make these long meandering posts that mm-hmm. make too many points at mm-hmm. once, and mm-hmm. it's not good for anybody, including word cells.
Yeah, I think simplicity is the thing that you need most desperately of all.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, make a post here, and then, you know, my paid subscribers who obviously want on CatholicPat.com, who obviously want.
I don't. When did this podcast become like an ad for you? I don't like this. I thought we were here to have fun, and we're just talking about your business strategies and like what you're doing to get more successful writing online.
Tell me the
funniest joke you know right now.
Okay, so there's a Jew. have you heard the Jerry Seinfeld Jewish joke? The Jewish joke that you won't.
Yes,
okay, yeah, I that have, one. Yeah. I've told that one a couple times this week, and very few people have gotten it.
Yeah.
I'll tell it now, and at broapostles.com/discord, you can go and you can tell me if you get it in the episode description. But the joke is that it's a Jew joke, and that's the only way you'll understand the punchline, is it's a Jew joke. And so here's the joke. Two Gentile businessmen walk up to each other on the street, and one says to the other, "Hey, how's business?" And the other one says, "Great." And that's the joke. So if you get it, type it in the comments. And if you are, then you're a real anti-Semite.
If you get Jewish. Share your recurring subscription to the Daily Wire, and we'll make sure that you get approved in the annals of history. A grasshopper walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Hey, we got a drink named after you." Grasshopper says, "You got a drink named Steve?"
That's a classic.
This is just a good one, you know?
I told my wife the Norm MacDonald moth joke where the moth goes into the podiatrist's office.
Tough joke for a wife. Audience.
She made
everything so hard. That's good. That's good.
Joke for a wife. That's funny.
I've recently started watching Malcolm in the Middle with my wife, and I think we found a show that we both like, which is rare. Yeah.
That's good.
She's like laughing. She's like, "That is what being a mom is like." And I'm laughing. I'm like, "That's what being a boy is like." It's fun.
You don't relate to Bryan Cranston's character at all?
I do think he's funny. He's a little unhinged in the early episodes. He's like he's kind of insane. I don't like how they make him a weak father. Like, he doesn't, you know, he just defers to the mom, and she's a little domineering, but that might just be like season one. You know, they haven't settled into their roles as characters yet. So, anyway, got any other jokes?
None that I can think of right now.
Oh, that's fair. Do you want to give people some advice?
This is a good catch up because we haven't talked.
It's good to hear that you are still struggling with gaining popularity online.
No, I'm just trying to find something that I enjoy doing, and that's why I switch up so much. Because
you do. You always switch up. I just want you to be happy, and I want you to be famous. I want you to be happy and famous. Here's what we need to do. Is there a way? I'm taking over the show now. You listen to me. Is there a way where we can? Because I think one simple move could change everything for you. I think this would be difficult for you. I think it might be out of your comfort zone. But can we get you on Survivor? Because I think not only do I think you would be great for the clip farms, and they would love clipping you. I think you'd like that. It's a game. It's like, ooh, it's a little game that you have to solve and figure out. I think you'd like that. There's people. I think you'd like. I think genuinely, you might disagree, but I think you'd like kind of having the loincloth on. I think that might be your thing.
Do you have to wear a loincloth?
I don't watch the show, but I think you would like to.
I don't think you have to wear a loincloth.
And then you eat the rice, and then you do the challenges. I think you would be very good at all of those things, and I think you would get voted out immediately.
Very quickly. Very quickly.
But I think that's, if we're talking about ways to send you to the top, that
Did you ever watch
it.
Total Drama Island?
No, I always thought it was strange.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny. Yeah. The first guy that gets voted off, his name is Ezekiel, and he's a homeschooled Canadian, and he gets voted off because he says that they only lost because they had so many girls on their team.
Based Canadian.
And so all the girls vote him off.
Dude, I had a crush on the goth girl when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. What can you do? All the guys out there were like, yeah, just now.
Yeah. I had a crush on the mean one.
Which one was the mean one?
The mean one?
Yeah.
I forget what her name was, but I had a crush on the mean one because my type in high school was brunettes who hated me.
Dude, that's probably why you liked watching Victorious, because there was that girl who was mean.
Didn't watch Victorious very much.
Really?
No.
That's probably why you liked iCarly, because Jeanette McCurdy was on there.
I did like iCarly.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame what happened.
It's crazy to be like 11 to be like, I wish she would beat me up with a stick of butter and a sock.
Anyway, culture truly did peak in the mid-10s. All right, so we're here to answer questions. We're not here to talk about iCarly. Who knows? Maybe we will more. That's very common.
Yes.
Anonymous question for the pod. I know that being fit and strong is my masculine calling, yada, yada.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh out loud at that. I need to wait until the question's done before I react.
But working out has become inseparable for me from my lowest period in life. I was consistent and strong in the gym, but I was fueled by self-hatred and a deep feeling of being unlovable. I've taken time away from the gym to distance myself from those thoughts. Without recommending therapy, how do I get past? Just thug it out? Great. I love this. I love the way you're thinking about this. ChatGPT.
I think you embrace the pain. I think you embrace the self-hatred. The only way those guys... You ever seen the video of that guy walking around and it's like dinosaurs in 300 million BC and it's like a guy who finishes a deadlift and he walks around the gym going, he's all hyped that he hit the deadlift PR. I think that's peak. I think that's what you should strive to. But you can't get there unless you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, what are you even doing, man? Every day. Do you want that?
You could also try like not working out like at the gym. You could try doing something completely different. Like I got those TRX straps where instead of lifting, you do a bunch of like body weight exercises.
That work as the beginning of the movie goes.
THX. That's what that is.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. But I got some of those recently. And Phoebe was like, why did you buy these? And I was like, bodyweight exercises. And she was like, this is ridiculous. And obviously I went out and Leo was having a great time with him. He was swinging on him. He was like, and I get a text in the middle of the day yesterday from work. And she goes, Patrick, these are hard. This is difficult. And I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, it totally is. You're hanging. You're trying to balance yourself. You don't use those muscles ever.
There's nothing a woman respects less than bodyweight exercises.
It's true. It is true. But it's I like them, so I'm doing it for me. I already have my wife. I don't need to impress her.
That's true. Can you just stop hating yourself and like keep working out? Like, do you like working out? Does he say?
Yeah, eventually you'll just stop associating it with whoever, whatever her name was, the brunette that hated you for my garlic.
Yeah. Yeah. If you. You could hire a woman to come hit you with butter in a sock while you're at the gym, and that might.
You can.
Then you would, instead of hating yourself, you'd be like, I hate the freaking woman.
They made an entire website for it called Craigslist.com.
Comes Craigslist is like, I looking for woman to hit me with butter sock, $500 a month. do not speak to me. Must be breathtaking. And then you get into like an emotional quandary because you're like, you fall in love with a butter sock girl. Mm. And then you're like at the gym And then it's like, would you come here if I ran out of money? And she's like, first word she's ever spoken to you. She's like, yes. So now you're like dating, but she's still just hitting you with the sock.
Amazing.
I think there's a beautiful romance here just waiting to be uncovered. I don't know. Just stop hating yourself. If you like working out, keep going. And if you don't like working out, don't go. I don't know. I don't think it's, yeah, you say it's like your masculine duty, but like you don't have to strength train to be masculine. There's different seasons of life for different things. And so right now, if you still want to stay active, play a sport, go on a run, do what Patrick suggested, get the bandoliers and, you know, do with those. But yeah, stop tying your identity so much into this thing that you do and start tying your identity to who you are and who you're.
A child of God.
Yeah, you're a freaking child of God, bro. Not a freaking strength master 9000. Watch a video of the guy who's in the gym. Who's like, it's very funny.
Okay. Right,
that's my advice.
Advice given. Next question. This one's got a slanted face. How do you find direction in life? How do you find meaningful things to do outside of school, exercising, and cleaning? I don't know where the maximum day-to-day success is, but I know I'm not there yet. Man, the dudes are having a time.
Yeah.
We need to help the fellas. The fellas are down bad. They've got the November blues.
Have you considered getting an AI girlfriend?
Hey you. Put that down. Stop it. Smack. I can't stop you from watching pornography. You can't stop yourself from watching pornography, but I got two guys who can. You guys, again, they run something called the Freedom Group. Ethan, you heard of the Freedom Group, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. So the Freedom Group is a group of guys who are looking for not just watching porn. They're not trying to give you like no porn, because like, okay, now there's a big old hole in your life that porn used to fill. What are you going to fill it with? That's what they're going to help you find. Oh, you have this desire.
You can't talk about big holes when we're doing an ad about porn.
That's true.
You got to rewrite it.
Getting rid of a porn addiction is not hard. It's difficult. That's what you got to learn when you're talking about. But with the Freedom Group, it's easy.
Nothing. Just keep going.
No, this Finish is a great ad. I think this is exactly what the people need. Mm-hmm. The Freedom Group will not help you just get rid of your porn habit, but they'll also help you get rid of the craving. You won't even want to do it anymore. And so that's the deal with the Freedom Group. And the best part is that they will work with you until it gets done. So they work with you for a year, and that's you're going to get rid of your porn addiction, porn craving in a year. And if not, they guarantee they will work with you until you do.
Yes,
so basically, how much for free? So basically, how much would you pay to get rid of your porn addiction? Well, you're probably going to have to pay less than you think. Go to thefreedomgroup.co and book a free 30-minute consultation, and they will help you get started today. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring another episode of Bropostles. I hear they're getting even more realistic. So,
yeah. How do I find purpose in life? This is funny because it's like simultaneously, it's like one of the greatest questions of philosophy ever posed. It's like, what is the meaning? What is the purpose? Why are we here? Where are we going? And at the same time, it's also like the dumbest damn question that anybody can ever ask.
No, it's not.
It is. It's like, and I'm not saying the person who's asking this is dumb, but it's like, what is your purpose? Okay, what's your state in life? It sounds like you're a student. It sounds like you're taking care of yourself. It sounds like you're doing everything you can to be better every single day, to be more virtuous. What did you expect?
Yeah.
Did you expect a letter to come in the mail when you're 11 telling you that you're special and you're going off to a special school in another country?
People.
Vis-a-vis steam train?
That is why they are the way they are, isn't it?
The British?
The millennials.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Remember, still waiting for my Hogwarts letter. I'm 31. It's like, okay.
Please get away from my kids. Stop looking at my dog like that, ma'am.
I texted you this, but you didn't respond. Someone on Substack was describing like Jane Austen novels, and I was like, oh man, this was like 19th century chick lit. This was like,
yeah.
This was my werewolf boyfriend.
I'm the most beautiful woman. I'm the smartest and most beautiful woman in all of England. I have so many suitors. they're all so handsome, and they're all military officers. But the only one I like is the bad boy who doesn't me.
There's a Victorian woman sitting in a parlor somewhere reading about how this woman has multiple suitors. She's just fanning herself. She's having like, I can't too much of it. A time.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. So
I've never read a Jane Austen novel in my life.
Me either. I did take a test on one, though. I did pass.
Dude, for Halloween, I might watch Pride and Prejudice. I can't think of anything more scary than seeing a Keira Knightley with another man.
I think I can't think of anything more scary than prejudice. Than racism. Structural poverty.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny to have like a right wing movie come out just called Prejudice and Prejudice.
it's a black guy and the other kind of black guy, and they're both just,
yeah,
you know, doing the Chris Rock bit. All right. So you're 20 and you're in school and you're exercising and you're in that part of your life where you're finding out who you are. That
you considered
is
getting married.
Yeah. And having children. That helps.
Join the military. Thing is, like,
you're in the part of your life where you're supposed to be like preparing. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that you're not feeling meaning, because it's hard to feel meaning for something that you're preparing for. And so I would say, like, you just gotta wait it out and just do as much as you can to invest in yourself and in blue chip stocks and mutual funds, ETFs, Roth IRAs.
I don't think you should do any of that. I don't think you should min-max your financial life when you're in your 20s. I think you should be dirt broke.
Yeah.
And move somewhere insane. Like, you should go somewhere that you'll never have another chance. Like, you could live in your parents' basement and like max out your contribution to your 401k, or you could take all your money out of savings and go live in New York for a year, and that'll probably be better for you long term than more like fun. Not even more fun. I think just better at developing you as a person.
When are you going to have another chance to see two rats fighting over a third dead rat on a train?
And that's just before you leave your apartment building. Those are just your roommates.
That's just your roommates, man.
You ever read Gregor the Overlander when you were a kid?
Dude, I did. I did read Gregor the Overlander.
I've been thinking about this book. I don't remember anything of it, but I remember that it's a boy named Gregor, and he finds like a vent out in his like alleyway, and he just crawls down into it, and then he like becomes the king of the rats or something. It's like, yeah, what were they doing back then?
It's the same woman who wrote Hunger Games, I think.
Yeah, Suzanne Collins.
Yep, Suzanne Collins. Man, Gregor the Overlander did not get nearly the
yeah, where's the movie about Tom Holland going underground and becoming the Rat King? I would watch that.
Yeah. I would watch that too. He's left alone in New York City. Gregor and the Rats of the Underland. That's its UK title.
Dude, awesome. It's so funny that in America they have to make it like Gregor the... It's about him being the Overlander. And then in the UK it's like Gregor and the Rats who live down there.
Gregor and the Rats. I saw a tweet that I've been thinking about since I saw it. But it's like, if you want to understand Europe, you have to understand that these are the descendants of people who were alive when there was a whole new world discovered, and they said, I'm good.
I'm staying here.
Don't need to see it.
No, thanks. I like my pizza. I like my pasta. Did you ever read Charlie Bone?
No.
Does that ring any bells? It's just another, it's like, I
Artemis
get
Fowl.
Oh, what a guy.
Aragon.
They had a bunch of books that were just like names of boys.
Pendragon. I never read any of these. Pendragon just
low-key rips. Nobody talks about Pendragon. I freaking love Pendragon.
These are just the books that I remember my friend Gaetano Saltalamacchia reading.
No way. That's a fate. You made up a guy. That's another book series.
My friend Gaetano.
That sounds like an Anthony Fantano character that he would make up in 2016. To ironically say the N-word in a music review. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, dude, if I came up with a fake Italian character, I would name him Gaetano Saltalamacchia. But this is a friend of mine from school. So.
Gaetano,
yeah,
Gaetano. Is that the place where they locked up the terrorists when Obama was the president?
Yeah, they sent him to Gaetano Bay. Gaetano is a real Italian name. It's Italian for something. It's like a Gaetano. What does it mean? Gaetano, anglicized as Cajetan, is an Italian masculine name.
Saint Cajetan's feast day is on the day of my wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's cool.
Bang.
Mine's Ignatius of Loyola. So
sick.
Yeah, Gaetano.
Gaetano. So your friend your friend was like, I've got a crazy name, so I guess the only solace I can find is amongst these other similarly outcast and strange boys like Artemis Fowl.
Correct.
And Charles Bone.
But Salta Lamachia means to jump over the thicket. And it is most famously associated with former MLB catcher Jared Salta Lamachia. So that's fun.
Not for long. Once this episode comes out, that'll change.
Everyone will know Gaetano. All right. Okay. Also, shout out to everyone who's currently tagging the Bro Apostles podcast. I'm getting a million notifications
for
that.
So thanks, guys.
Dating question from Thanos. Had a first date today, and she did 90% of the talking. Is that good or bad?
That's just normal. That's just part of being around a woman. That's just it.
There's a C.S. Lewis quip about how God, like how you know men and women are intrinsically incompatible, because when a man gets tired, he says less, and when a woman gets tired, she says more.
Yeah.
You know, the light goes off. That doesn't matter. They're still the conversation is still going. Fellas, am I right? Yeah, this is a married man podcast now.
Yeah.
No, that's totally normal. That's fine. You don't want to give off interview vibes. Yeah, but when people talk about all the things they want to talk about, they say that was a really good conversation. So you're fine.
Yeah, women like to talk. This is known. If they like to do it with you, it means they probably trust you in some regard.
It
would
true.
Be
if
more
she is a talker,
of a concern if it was flipped and you did 90% of the talking. That would be bad.
If she is a talker, then it's good that she's talking, because that means she trusts you. You know,
and if she's not a talker, doubly so. Like you've given her space to open up. So it's like either this is only a W for you.
Yeah, you're totally good. All right. Parenting advice from Amanda. My local radio reported that 10% of children under 5
Pause.
Go to play. What?
You're listening to the radio?
Yeah, wait a second. Hold on.
Sorry. Did you also buy some lemonade for 5 cents down at the corner store?
Yeah, you're going to get drafted into World War II or something?
Come down to the sock hop later this evening?
Yeah, what the heck? Different era, but yeah.
I don't know. Sorry.
This 97-year-old radio station still.
Dude, I said that at a work meeting the other day, and nobody understood what I was talking about.
No one gets it. Yeah. There's that Father Guy account on X that he says that all the time. The 97-year-old soda shop or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, man, it's such a good bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Local radio station reported 10% of children under 5 go play outside less than once a week.
That's too many numbers in a sentence.
Too many numbers. So like, I don't understand. Is that 10% of children under 5 go play outside less than once a week?
Okay.
So does that mean that 90% are doing it more, or 90% are doing it less? Let me look this up.
10% of children go outside. 10% of children under 5. And if there's a fox outside, he'll eat the kid. But if the kid brings the egg outside, then the fox will eat the egg. But if the kid and the chicken come at the same time, then the fox will run away. So what combination do you have to send outside at the same time to get the egg across the street?
Okay, I found a bunch of things about this. So about 1 in 10 preschoolers go outside to play once a week or less. Parents say they feel nervous when their kids stray too far or climb too high.
Does that mean that 90% of preschoolers go outside to play once a week or more?
I don't.
This seems like not a problem.
75% of parents of 3 to 5 year olds say their child swings independently. About 71% of 1 to 2 year olds get on the slide on their own. 3 in 5 say their kid watches TV or videos every day. Okay. 80% on a typical day, 88% of kids will engage in physical play. 68% will take part in pretend or make believe play. This actually sounds fine. This all sounds fine.
Yeah, none of this is concerning to me. What was the rest of her question?
Okay, what she said was, I'm pulling my hair out. If the weather is bad 2 to 3 days in a row, I'm not looking forward to winter. Oh, what are your favorite ways to involve movement, risk assessment, exploration with your toddlers when you can't be outside? So she wants to know how she can put her kids outside even when the weather is bad.
These harnesses and you can screw them into the ceilings and you can just kind of hang them by the ceiling and kind of push them around like a punching bag. Uh-huh. And they love it.
Do you have those?
Yeah, I have a room with like several hooks and I just kind of leave the kids suspended in here when I don't want to deal with them.
So we're going to see Ethan on the news soon.
No, but it's not like in a bad way. Like it's fun. Like they like it. You know?
Sure. Like I sometimes like to hang my kids upside down from the shower, curtain rack, and they love it.
Is that true?
They think it's a great. No, of course not.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's pretty cool.
No, don't put your
kid in a harness suspended from the ceiling, but you could, you got to connect with the local moms and figure out what the spots are. Like, is there a play place at the mall? Is there a coffee shop that has toys in it? Is there someone else's house that you can go to? Do you have a play set in your backyard? Is there a park that is shielded from the wind? That's huge. Wide open park, tough in the winter. But is there a park that has trees? It makes it easier. Winter is hard for everybody, but I mean,
kids do love when the weather is bad. Like it's raining, they want to go out. It's snowing, they want to go out. Like we hate the weather because we have to clean all the clothes.
Yeah,
and we have to dry off anything. But they don't care. No. My son and my dad got stuck in the rain coming back from the park. They walked down to the park in our neighborhood, and they got caught in the rain. And it was like one of those Florida like flash flood warning rainstorms. That happens randomly sometimes in this state. And it was over in 10 minutes, but they were walking back what had happened. And Leo was having a great time. My dad was like smoking a cigarette, holding his hand over it so that it didn't get wet.
Not protecting the boy, but protecting the cigarette is really funny.
and you know, like Leo's having a great time. He's like, Daddy, it's raining. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, it sure is. And so we drove out to get them. But yeah, kids love the weather. So you'll be okay. But then if you hate it, that's fine. Find an indoor play place at the mall.
You need to get some warmer clothes too. I think a lot of the issues that people have is they don't have warm enough clothes.
They don't layer up.
You need to get gloves that are warmer. You need to get hats that are warmer, coats that are warmer, so that when you actually go outside, it's because right now people dress for like the walk between the car and the building. You just need to be able to dress for being outside for the season. Yeah. So just get a heavier coat, get some heavier pants, some nice boots to keep your little toes warm, and same for the kiddos. And you should be right as rain.
Yeah, man.
It's hard though. Winter is hard as a mom, so we're not minimizing it. But
yeah, no, not at all. Because I get to go to a nice warm office where no one wants my attention. No one. So, all right. Next question. Hi, Dr. Brooks.
Yeah, go ahead and read this one. Please read it for me.
No, read it,
and then I'll give you the context. Please.
Okay, this is a really long email. It seems like you sent.
I need you to read it.
And then there's one that's to me. Okay. Hi, Dr. Brooks. I had the pleasure of seeing you speak at SEEK 25 in Salt Lake City, Utah, in the Acton University Conference past June. This is a different podcast question.
So can I tell you something funny? So I open up my email, ethan@broapostles.com, which we have not set up any forwarding addresses at all to this. And I get this email from this guy that it says in the field, it's like sent to, you know, Albert Brooks at whatever.com, nothing to do with the podcast. And it just ended up in my inbox. It wasn't forwarded from anybody. It didn't come through the website. It I'm just baffled at how it ended up there. And so I thought it maybe God wanted it on the show, because that's the only way it would make sense. It's the most bizarre thing. I mean, you don't have to read the whole question.
I will.
You don't need to.
Also, okay, never mind. All right. I had the pleasure of seeing you speak at Seek 25 in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you for all your work.
He sent it to officehours@arthurbrooks.com.
Okay. My question for the pod is, how do you navigate using platforms like Reddit, Twitter that encourage not safe for work or erotic material as a practicing Catholic? I find it hard to enjoy my Catholic or sports content when I have sexual content being fronted to me via the algorithm, or people that violate their sense of free speech by making personal accounts a place to portray their private parts.
Whoa.
Situations like, who would do that? Situations like these find me in the confessional, not for mortal sin anymore, but rather lack of purity of heart. Feel free to twist the questions you please. This is a hot issue for our time. I look forward to reading your books. Please pray for me.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know how this email made its way to us, but I thought it was a good question. You know, I don't know who Dr. Brooks is. I hope we find him one day. I think you have to manhandle the algorithm until it gives you what you want when you're using these platforms. Like every time you see a woman, this is what I do. Is every time I see a photograph of a woman, any woman, I just click not interested. And then eventually it completely removes women from my feed.
It knows
what I want.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So you could just you have to be very diligent with the, like, I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in this. You do that enough times on pretty much any, all the platforms have this. Facebook has this, YouTube has this, X has this, Instagram has this. They all have that option. And you can use it to help make it more of a place that you want it to be. Also on X specifically, you can make a list. So like if there are sports accounts that you like I have a list of K-State sports accounts, I just go over to that list and then I can read about K-State sports without it being, and it only shows you the people in that list.
Lists are actually the way that you do Twitter well. Yeah, and very 100%. Few people understand it. You can pin it to your feed. So that is what you see. And you don't have to go to the For You page. And eventually Twitter will stop showing you the For You page, because it'll just be like, oh, that's not what you want to see.
Yeah.
Because it wants to maximize your unregretted user seconds.
Yes.
And so that's which is just a crazy statistic that exists.
Yeah. You could also, if you're really struggling with it, you could just take a break. If it's not making you happy or holy, just take a break from it, reset.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for writing in, and I hope that you figure out, I hope someone can tell me. It's funny because it's like, it could be a question that someone would write into our show. So I'm like,
it's a good question for our show, but it wasn't for our show.
Who is strange. Dr. Brooks? Can we call Dr. Brooks right now?
It's Dr. Arthur Brooks.
It's Dr. officehours@arthurbrooks.com was the email, and it ended up in my honest to God ethan@broapostles.com account, and I just don't know how this got here. I'm gonna reply to him.
The science of happiness.
I'm gonna reply to him.
Okay.
Hello, I am not Dr. Arthur Brooks, regrettably.
Dr. Brooks, meet Arthur. Happiness is not a destination. It's a direction with the M dash.
Oh, no. I am not Dr. Arthur Brooks, regrettably. How did you get this email? This is a private server.
I didn't take the traditional route through academia. At 19, I walked away from college, became a professional French horn player.
Why did it deliver to me? Who are you? What are you looking for?
He's got a 150,000 person email list on the Art and Science of Happiness newsletter. That's cool. Office Hours with Arthur Brooks. Cool. Go look up Arthur Brooks. He's now on our podcast for some reason.
Thank you.
All right. And then you sent me an email that someone sent me.
Yeah, go ahead and read that.
Hi, I'm Kathy Jo Lang, host of the Unplanned Joyful Life podcast. I saw you on the Ascension app and felt called to reach out. I think
are you going to go on her podcast?
I think so. I think I booked a time on her show already.
I just wanted to give you a little boost because you were feeling so down about not being invited to things. And I was like, no, people want to have you around. Kathy Jo Lang likes you.
So I feel like I did. Hold on. I I like registered to go on two people's podcasts now that I think about it. And I did I just like miss those
Dude,
recording
you,
sessions?
You biffed it so hard.
So like the other one that you sent me
yeah.
that
it's the
was
same
like
one. It's the same lady. She no, sent it twice.
It was two. So I must if she sent it again recently, I must not have.
Correct.
But you sent me one like the family podcast or something.
Yeah.
I submitted one for that too, but then I don't know what happened.
You didn't show up?
Well, maybe I it's possible. It's also possible that I like scheduled it for very far in advance.
Yeah, that's what I did. I scheduled it in August for like September. Because they only record once a month. So
yeah, so
that was a great episode. My episode with when that comes out, whenever it is, it's I think it's the Catholic Family Podcast. They're awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
I thought this was funny because I was just trying to like gas you up and be like, look, people are inviting you and now you've taken it as a time to like organize your internal logistics while we're live on a podcast.
I just feel bad. I just feel bad that I heard
this thing that you could do. Like you are a mystery to me. Like we could be live on at the Super we could be podcasting at the halftime of the Super Bowl and you'd be like, wait, hold on, I didn't email somebody back. I feel bad. And then you like pull out your phone and like start. It's like,
well,
we're
like,
at the Super Bowl.
They were nice. They were nice enough to invite me on their
Bad
show.
Bad Bunny is here.
Bad Bunny. And I can't speak to him. I don't know what he's saying. I do not speak Spanish.
Bad Bunny.
Someone was nice enough to invite me on their show and I ghosted them. So that sucks.
Yeah. All right.
Dang let's it. Keep, anyway. Let's,
no, okay. It's okay. All is forgiven.
I haven't talked to him, but she emailed me again, so that's nice. At least she still wants me to go on. All right, hi, JP3 from Discord here. My wife is an independent life insurance broker and wants to get you a better rate. Love the pod. You should get a better rate.
I will reach out to you. Please send me a DM on...
$300,000 in coverage is not good. I have $400,000, so I'm fine. Pros and cons to see...
Send me a DM
pros
on
and
Discord.
Cons. Pros and cons to seeking employment with a primarily Catholic or Protestant employer. Versus just being open to anything. I'm in tech and my current role ends next week, so I need a job. However, and I have a hypothesis that it's a primarily female-male difference, I have a really hard time with a job as a job, make money to survive mentally. I tried taking a random job earlier this year, paid great, had growth opportunities, but I loathed it. Now that I'm back in the job market and kind of in a time and money crunch and will start mass applying in a week or two when I finish my website redesign. I'm debating my approach. I think I would love to work for a couple of Catholic tech companies, but I also know working for the church can be risky and my skills are not top notch yet. How do you find direction in life? How do you find meaningful things to do outside of school, exercising, occasionally cleaning? That's we already asked that.
It's a separate question.
Okay. I do have an answer and I have a book for you to read. Okay.
But then by all means.
Okay. Go read So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. Yes. One of his most underrated books. Everyone says deep work now. Cal has wrote a book that like everyone calls deep work.
We're
and what
playing
they
the
mean,
hits today.
Everyone talks about it. They don't talk about the book, but they just use the term. It's like it pops up in random places where I'm like, you've never read Cal Newport's book. Like that's just you're not even using it right. It's like monk mode. It just means nothing, but it just like I'm working and I'm feeling good. Anyway, but So Good They Can't Ignore You is his book about the passion hypothesis, which is the idea that you have to like follow your passion and then you'll be happy in work. Like you'll find fulfillment in your work. And this book is about how that's wrong. And instead of finding happiness and passion in your work, you find happiness by being good at your work. And he does qualify this with a few things like you can't have a job where you're doing something you feel is morally wrong. You can't do a job where you feel like you're not in a good like you're in a good work environment. So there are some qualifiers for it, but by and large it's a really great book to help you find direction. And it's been it's a book that I need to revisit. It's one of those books that like I should revisit annually. It's very good. Even though Cal has the reputation on this podcast with a certain host of being New York Times nonfiction self-improvement slop, he is very
thoughtful. That's not true. I've read three or four of Cal Newport's books, and I've enjoyed all of them.
Which ones did you read?
I've read Deep Work.
You read Deep Work.
Digital Minimalism. I've read the newest one that he put out about work from home that I can't remember the name of.
Slow Productivity?
Yes, Slow Productivity. Okay. And then what am I missing?
Did you read So Good They Can't Ignore You? Or roll that email?
No, okay. I've only read three then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I'm in. I like Cal. My one of my best friends has had a question read live on Cal Newport's podcast like two or three times. That's really important.
It was easy to get a question read because I referenced a blog that he wrote in 2009, and he was like, "How do you know about this?"
Very good.
It's easy. And then I asked another question that had to do with Dave Ramsey, and I know he likes Dave Ramsey, and so I asked that question too. If you want to get a question read on the podcast, you just have to know us, and then you'll ask the question.
We don't have enough questions that we can be selective.
We read
everything that we get.
Yeah. So that's even better. That'll get more questions. So that's a really great book. If you have some directionlessness in your life and you want to, we probably should have mentioned that book earlier, but despite being lumped in with other self-help nonsense books, Cal Newport's books are very well researched, very well thought out, and he's a good guy. So read his books. Do we have time for one more question?
We are at the 50-minute mark.
Okay. This question's kind of spicy.
You want to end with a spicy one? That's one spicy meatball.
How loaded question. How did you guys decide when to have a second kid?
How does the sun decide to come up?
I'll answer your question with two words, and it was bigger house.
How does the moon come out every night?
When we moved out of my parents' house, we had our second kid.
how does the tiger stalk prey in the jungle?
So I hope that answers your question.
How does the lion reign on the savannah?
The lion does not concern himself with the opinions of...
How does the humble hummingbird flit from flower to flower?
Courage.
How does the sly fox go from hole to hole?
All right, let's move on.
How does the simple beagle eat yet another pasta dish from the table scraps?
Is this Snoopy? Okay.
How does the fancy feline enjoy yet another bowl of delicious pre-prepared cat food?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Bro Apostles. If you'd like to support this show, if you think all that was worth $10 a month, go to patreon.com/bropostles and you can support us $10 a month. It'll get you the bonus podcast, which is a lot like the top of the show, but for 30 to 40 minutes. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring another episode of this podcast.
How does the sperm whale do what he does out there in the ocean?
That's a nice one. All right. Thank you, guys. See you next time.
And yet we humans, we struggle with love. When to press on, when to retreat, when to make love.
That's it. I'm going to the Daily Wire. Everyone.
When do I decide to have a second kid? You know.
What a weird way to end the show. Can't even land this. All right. We're done.
Oh, we've been done for 10 minutes.
All right. Damn, we're so good at podcasting, dude. We're so good at it.
How does the deer frolic through the fields?
I want a divorce. All right.